Hosanna! Hosanna! Hallelujah! Yeah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! You may be seated. It's a great honor to be able to bring the Word of God to you today. And I am so excited and I'm so privileged to be able to do that. And as you know, this is Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. The next big day is really Good Friday. We hear Maundy Thursday and things like that, but the day leading up to the resurrection, right? Right? But Good Friday is the day that we celebrate and we remember the crucifixion of Christ Jesus, the Lord. All right? But prior to that is Palm Sunday. And this is the Sunday, as I was talking about during worship, that Christ Jesus came through the streets of Jerusalem. And what was he riding again? He was riding not just a donkey, but the colt of a donkey. Now, there's some things that we need to take note of here. If we are not careful, we miss out on the importance, the significance, the message of what is happening here on this Palm Sunday. And what is being proclaimed on this very Sunday is something that is only preeminated by the crucifixion itself. So what is being proclaimed on this day is absolutely essential to our salvation, to the life of Christ, and to his death and resurrection. It is very easy to overlook its importance. It's very easy to overlook the focus of it all because of all the things that are going on there. And we are not really understanding of all of the ways and the things that people did back then. All right? As we were talking about last week, we think through the eyes, through the lenses of Americans, okay, now. All right? And so when we read things, we're thinking, you know, in our own minds, from our own experiences. All right? Through our own socialization, through our own viewpoints, through our own opinions. We're thinking, as we hear and read these things, we're thinking through these lenses. And so we understand things only through that, unless we educate ourselves on the daily practices, the context of which the Bible is speaking at this moment. All right? We need to be thinking about who are the hearers of this word? Who are the hearers of the words Hosanna? Who are the seers of what's happening here right now? What's going on around all these people? So right now, let me ask you a question. What is going on in Jerusalem right now during Palm Sunday? That's a big deal. What is it? Passover. Passover's going on, okay? So Passover is going on. It is a huge celebration, all right? Now remember, when we do communion, we are celebrating, okay? We're celebrating the shedding of Jesus' blood. And if you remember there, the Last Supper, they were there together celebrating Passover. Now, Passover, if you remember, is when the death angel, as it were, of the plagues that God sent upon Pharaoh in Egypt, right? And this was the plague of the death of the firstborn. Okay? Now, if you remember correctly, they were to take a branch and to dip it into the blood of a sacrificed goat or sheep, and they were to paint it on their doorposts of their houses. And this would signify, this would cover their houses and all that were in them from the effects of that death angel that was coming by. Okay? Now, if they did not, the death angel would cause death to come on the firstborn of that household. All right? And so when the people in Jerusalem and all of Israel, all Jerusalem is not all that big of a place. Okay? It's not that big. But it swells beyond its capacity when Passover comes. And thousands upon thousands of people come from all over Israel, and they come right to Jerusalem. All right? And so all of Jerusalem is up in arms, and they are excited, and they're joyful, and they're celebrating. They're remembering what God did to save Israel from the hands of Pharaoh. Do you understand what's going on? All right? So they are, in a sense, they're alive because of Passover. The death angel passed over the houses that had the blood on their doorposts. Okay? That's where they get that from. So all of Israel is brought together in Jerusalem, and they're celebrating this great happening, this great deliverance that God did for them. He protected them. He provided for them. He made a way for them. And he caused the death angel to pass over their homes. And so saved Israel. That's what they're thinking. That is this celebration that's going on. That's the context of where we are today. All right, in this scripture. Now, in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 17, let's just kind of read through this so that we can understand what is going on here. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, I've stood in that very place. The Mount of Olives, I've stood there where Jesus and his disciples were. Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Now, let's just pause just for a minute there. All right. This donkey and her colt are somebody else's stuff. Okay? Now, Jesus tells these guys, now listen, I want you to go steal these donkeys. Bring them back to me, and if anybody tries to resist you, you tell them the Lord needs them. Wouldn't you like to try that sometime? Your neighbor's boat. Hey, Jim, I want you to go next door, Jimmy's house, and I want you to hook up to that boat, and I want you to start bringing it over. Now, listen, if the owner of that boat says anything to you, just say that Russ needs it, and he'll let you take it. I don't think that would work. I'd probably end up in jail. Okay? So, Jesus says, go into the next village, and you're going to find this. You're going to find a donkey and her colt tied to a post. I want you to bring those to me, and if the owner says anything to you, just say, the Lord needs them. Okay, Lord, if you say so, I could go to jail over this, and they could. They could. All right, so let's keep reading. And he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet in verse 5. Say to Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. Now, a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him, those that followed, shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Verse 12. Jesus entered the temple courts, drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. Interesting. In verse 13, he says, "As it is written," he said to them, "my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. He did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of God," they were. Do you hear? And let's try to do some digging here. All right? Now, when you're digging for gold, you got to do some digging. You got to do some serious digging, right? And most of the time, you end up being skunked. All right? You don't get anything. But there are some times when you do come away with some stuff. All right? And that makes it worthwhile. Well, in the Word of God, we're going to do some digging for gold today. All right? Now, up until this time, Jesus had told the people that he had healed or rebuked demons from or had helped in some way. He had told them, "Now, shh, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." Okay? Now, such instances, if you want to turn to Mark chapter 7, verse 31 through 36, Mark chapter 7, 31 through 36. And so it tells of an instance where Jesus heals someone. Let's read about this. "Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There, some people brought him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit, and he touched the man's tongue." He did what? No germ gel. No sanitation. He did what? All right, so here we go. "He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, 'Ephphatha,' which means, 'Be opened.' At this, the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was plainly loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone." Why was he doing that? "But the more he told them this, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. 'He has done everything well,' they said. 'He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.' But Jesus, even though he healed this person, says, 'Shh, don't tell anyone. You people, shh, don't tell anyone.' Why? Because it was not yet his time to be revealed." To be revealed as what? The Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. Okay? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Matthew 16, 13 through 20. Did you bring your Bibles this morning? If you need a Bible, you let me know and we can hook you up with one. Matthew 16, 13 through 30. "Now when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?'" Talking of himself, the Son of Man. "'Who do people say that I am?' he asked them. They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked.
Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." That's way different. That's way different. That's a declaration. That's blasphemy, friends, if it ain't true. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but why? By who? By my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples, again, not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So here it is. He's squelching the spread of his glory because his time had not been just right yet. It wasn't right. It wasn't his Father's time yet for him to be revealed. Let's turn back a few pages to Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, let me tell you something about leprosy. It is a very ugly, disgusting disease. It eats away fingers. It eats away noses and ears. And it is thought to be contagious. And so people, it's gruesome. And so these people with leprosy, they would have to live together outside of the interaction with other people. They were outcasts. They were untouchables. They were unreachables. Nobody wanted them around because they could catch this wicked and horrible disease. And so this man cries out to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. "I am willing." "I am willing." Wow. "Be clean. Be clean." Wow. "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Can you imagine the man's amazement as Jesus responded, "I am willing. Be clean, be healed, completely renewed, completely restored." Immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. Then Jesus said to him, "See that you don't tell anyone, but instead go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift of Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So be quiet about it, but still do what Moses' law commands." Okay? So there's three times right there that he had done amazing things, saved people's lives. And he tells them, "Shh, don't tell anyone." Why? Because it was not yet time for him to be revealed. It was not time for the rest of the people to know that he was the Messiah. Okay? Until now. Until now. Now listen to this. Jesus, up until this time, had been squelching and putting a damper on all of this glory and these proclamations. All right? He had things to accomplish before that time came. Well, on Palm Sunday, the time is right, friends. So now, what's happening? What is the significance of this Palm Sunday that we now call Palm Sunday? It wasn't called that back then. It was just the Passover. Jesus made it Palm Sunday. And as he was coming in, he's riding on this colt of a donkey. Now, there is a great significance in this. Most of the time, when kings ride into places, what are they riding? They're riding a steed, a horse that was bred for battle, a horse that is trained for battle, a horse that has battle armor on, and these things are big, and they're strong, and they want to ride into battle. They live for it. They're trained for it. And here is Jesus coming in as the king, but not as an earthly king, is it? Not as a king that is ready for war, ready for conquering, ready to claim land as his own through power. No. He comes in lowly and riding on the colt of a donkey. As if a donkey wasn't humble enough, he rides on the colt of a donkey, which is even lower, and speaks more loudly. So what is Jesus saying as he's riding on this colt of a donkey? He's still saying that he is a king. However, he's saying, my kingdom is way different than the kingdom of the Romans, what you are used to seeing every day. Bloody brutality, conquering, constantly conquering other nations and adding them to your own. No, this is not my kingdom. I come to you humbly. My kingdom is a kingdom that proclaims peace. And you can all take part in this kingdom. Wow, this is different. This is different. And people didn't know how to handle that. They didn't know how to handle that. Most of the Jews were expecting a king to come and deliver them from the Romans. All right? And so at first they're thinking, well, this just may be the guy. Let's give it a shot. All right? Let's praise him as a king. And we definitely know he's got something going on there. He's got some incredible miraculous powers, and he speaks with authority, and he's different than anybody else. Let's give this a try. And so they wave their palm branches, Hosanna, and they're saying, save us now. Who do they need to be saved from? The Romans. They need to be saved from the Romans. And so in the people's minds, many of them are thinking that this is the guy that's going to physically deliver them from Roman captivity. But that's not what Jesus was coming for. That's not what he was coming for. Jesus, the Bible says, came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. So now, Jesus, it is now his time to be revealed. This is, Palm Sunday is like the great revealing. Palm Sunday is the great day of, in a sense, revelation. He is letting everybody know now who he is. Now, this is going to cause quite a stir, mind you. Okay? And all the people. Now, a lot of the things that are quoted here in this Matthew 21 text are quoted previously in scriptures. Okay? Psalm 118, 26. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That is written way before Jesus was ever around, about 1,000 years before Jesus was ever around. Those words were said by King David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 9 through 11 says, has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? Den of robbers to you. Now remember, Jesus, after he had rode in, goes to the temple and finds all these people cheating others to make money right in the temple courtyard, selling different things, selling doves and money changers, and they would keep pocket money, and they would oppress the people by making them pay more than they should. Okay? And so Jesus goes in there, and remember, he's turning over the tables, and he's whipping people, you know, and he say, "Get out of here. My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers." Well, he's quoting scripture that was long, long, long before he was ever around. And then later on, as he's coming in, people are saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." These little children are crying out to him and dancing and praising Jesus as the Son of David, the King, which they're insinuating that he is the King. And all of the Sadducees and Pharisees are like, "Hey, tell your people, tell your disciples to stop that. Tell those children to shut up. Don't let them say that stuff. Do you hear what they're saying about you?" Okay? And Jesus says, "Have you not read? From the mouths of infants and children, you have ordained praise." All right? If we look in Psalm chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies." So he's saying, children, through their praise, are bringing strength to the kingdom. Amen? And praise to Christ, the Lord. Wow. Turn to Luke chapter 19. Now keep in mind, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day, are saying to him, "Tell your people to knock it off. Don't let them call you that. Don't let them praise you in that way. You're not someone to be praised," they were saying, basically. Okay? "Tell them to stop saying those things." Luke chapter 19, 37 through 44. "When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.'" Verse 39. "Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Tell them to knock it off.' Jesus says, 'I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Man, wouldn't that be a sight? Wouldn't that be a sight? Wow. "As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, as Titus did in the year AD 70 and conquered all of Israel, defeated, tore down the temple. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. Why? Because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." He's saying, God's coming to you is right now through me. I am bringing God's coming to you, and you don't recognize it. And because you don't recognize it, you reject it, God is bringing destruction upon you. And it happened just as he said. In John chapter 12, let's go to John. So now you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got the Gospels, okay? And each is giving a testimony, a written testimony, if you will, of what they had seen while they were with Jesus. Okay? And each one is a little bit different in how they tell it. One has more detail, the other one is more focused on certain things. And so if you piece them together, if you line them up together, when I was in Bible college and studying these things, they would line them up together right next to each other, verse by verse, line by line, and you could see what things agreed that were the same and what things had a little bit more detail, okay, and what others left out but focused on other things. And it was really interesting. But when you do this, you're able to piece together a very detailed account of what happened. And so, in John chapter 12, 16 through 19, we're reading John's account. Now listen to what it says. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. What didn't they understand? They didn't understand the people shouting, Hosanna. They didn't understand why he's riding on the colt of a donkey. They didn't understand until Jesus was actually crucified and rose again and had some time to think about all these things. But later on, they're like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh! It was right there in the scripture, and he's bringing it to pass. It's completed in his life and in his demonstrations. It's right here in front of us, and we didn't even know it. Verse 16, at first his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb, spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, went out to meet him. All right? So people in the area are hearing that Jesus is on his way. This is the guy that raised Lazarus from the dead. We got to go see this guy. We got to go. Maybe he'll do another miracle. What do you think? What do you think? What miracle is he going to do this time? But all these people that have heard what he had done are now gathering to come see him. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. And so the religious leaders of the day are recognizing the people's response to Jesus. To Christ the Lord. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Zechariah 9, 9. 9 through 10. It says, rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, now listen to this. Your king comes to you righteous and victorious, lowly, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And here Jesus, let's finish this. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim, listen, peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Jesus is proclaiming a kingdom of peace that was referenced, prophesied about hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus even came. Do you see how accurate this is and how he is fulfilling scripture? And now these people, all of Jerusalem, know these scriptures. And when he comes riding into the city on the colt of a donkey, that's turning some heads, friends. That is turning some heads. People are recognizing, man, there's really something going on here. There's really something going on. Now, 5 days, roughly later, their praises and their shouts will go from Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna to the King of Kings, Hosanna in the highest, to crucify him. Give us Barabbas. We have no king, but who? Caesar. What? How fickle. How fickle people are. He didn't come in the way that they expected. Strong, authoritative, and conquering on a mighty steed. No, he came lowly on the colt of a donkey proclaiming peace. Way, way different, friends. Proclaiming a kingdom of peace, salvation. Proclaiming himself the Messiah. Palm Sunday is a big deal. There's a lot that is taking place here that if we don't know the context of everything and the history and what Jewish people thought like and understood, we're missing out on the message of Palm Sunday itself. So from this day up until Good Friday, things go downhill in a hurry for Jesus. Because of his proclamation as King, as Messiah, as the Son of God, things go downhill in a hurry. Friends, we're going to be together on Good Friday. Remember, what time is it? Lunchtime that the crosswalk is taking place. City Hall right here on Main Street in Medina, right where the police station is. We're going to be walking just a little ways around some of the streets in Medina, stopping at different locations. Quick teachings. The whole thing takes, I don't know, an hour maybe. All right, Good Friday evening, 6 o'clock, right here. We have roughly 8 churches that are going to be involved in our service. It's going to be amazing. And you know what happens when God's people get together with one sole purpose of worshiping God and raising high the standard of his kingdom. Amen. God moves, and we're expecting that very thing to happen. Good Friday, 6 o'clock, there's going to be refreshments afterwards, all right? Lastly, Sunday morning, what time? 9 o'clock, everyone. Why are we coming so early? We're having a huge breakfast that is free to all who come. So, what are you going to do? Here's your homework. Bring as many people as you can. Good Friday night, 6 o'clock. Sunday morning. Understood? Let's work this together, all right? What family member, who can you bring? All right? Let's do this. Would you stand with me? I want you to get prepared now. I want you to get your palm branches in your hand, and we're going to do another triple shout of Hosanna after we pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you today. We honor you for your sacrifice. Lord, you know what was going to happen in Jerusalem when you went there, but you went anyway because you loved us, Lord. In your word in Romans, it says that you demonstrated your love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Thank you, God. You are not content to allow sin to separate us from you. You sent your only Son, that whosoever would believeth on him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And Lord, you didn't send your Son into this world to condemn it, but to save it through him. For Lord, in your word it says that you are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for going to the cross and taking our sin there with you.
Amen.
And to you, today, as a body, as the kingdom of God and the family of God and the children of God, we raise our palm branches to you and we shout to you, Hosanna! 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 Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Lord, we lift up your name with hearts full of praise. Yes, with hearts full of praise. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. Be exalted, O Lord, my God. Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna!
Praise the Lord. It has been great to be together with you today in the house of God. Your homework, go home and invite somebody to come with you. Good Friday and Sunday morning. God bless you. I love you. I'll see you Friday.